Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk, the most exciting, entertaining, and only sometimes informative show on earth. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with Todd Kuhn and Denise Dirks, and our producer, Cal Hunter. Thanks for being with us here the 4th of March, 2023, on this beautiful West Coast morning. Had a lot of snow, a lot of on the news. Oh, we're, you know, it's killing us. No, we need it. Go deep, snow as deep as we can and as much water as we want, because love having that much-needed water in the future. But welcome. Look, if you want to call in, you can call in. Denise has always got that phone number, 855-LAW-RADIO. 855-what, Denise?
529-7234.
She's got that figured out, among other things in life. And Todd's got pictures he's showing me.
Anything to try to distract, you know?
No, he doesn't. Nowadays, I've been doing this way too long. It doesn't distract me, but thanks for the picture.
I was telling my son this about doing trial work. He says, you know, what happens if you object and the judge doesn't sustain the objection? Is it embarrassing? No. A lot of times you just object because you want to throw somebody off their rhythm. You know, they get this back and forth. And this would be the pictorial equivalent to trying to throw Fred off his rhythm.
You can throw me off one bit, my friend. I'm still going full tilt. Watch this. Don't forget, we're not talking about legal issue. Oh, wait a minute, you did throw me off.
Well done, yes. Can I get an extra point in case you know case?
Nicely played. I think so, yeah.
Seek counsel. We're not giving any advice. We're just talking about general topics of law. That's our disclaimer. Go to our disclaimers at RadioLawTalk.com, which is a wonderful place for you guys to go. We do have social media. We are slow at putting our social media on. We're going to get better at that. But Facebook, Instagram, but mainly Facebook, because that dang Instagram people won't help us get our Instagram put. It just drives me nuts, you know? I mean, the Instagram was going fine, and all of a sudden I had it all. Maybe you guys have it on your I automatically get into it, but then I reset everything, so I had to put the passwords back in, and then it won't let me get in it for some reason. So maybe you guys, if you could still get in the Instagram.
You're too successful, Fred. That's the problem.
We will post stuff on Instagram if we can do that. Today, I mean, what the heck else can we talk about today other than the Murdoch trial? I could talk for 3 hours about Murdoch trial. 3 hours. I could go on and on and on, but we have to talk about it. Todd and I are around each other a little more than Denise and I see each other, but Todd and I have been talking about it all week, and hey, what's going on? Here's some little bit of tidbits here and there, and we're gonna throw out some interesting things that throughout this whole trial, some possible appeals issues. And I listen to all the pundits on, you know, law and crime and all those. I say we're better pundits than they are. They should be putting us on all those TV shows.
They are punkdits, and
no,
you are real
nothing
pundits.
Like us. Yes, nothing exactly. Like us. Radio Law Talk hosts, lawyers, you should be interviewing us about. But we've got some very interesting little tidbits that we just nuggets that we found that might allow Murdoch to win an appeal. Did you guys watch the juror that was interviewed on, I think, CBS or NBC?
ABC got the first. They got the alternate juror. ABC got the first one. And then everybody ended up getting
the guy that was closest to him. So I watched that. Some interesting insight that we're going to talk about that he brought up. But,
the speed.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Baffling. And his comments, and we'll get to that, but his comments given how long the trial was, how quick the verdict was, and what the vote was when they first went into the jury room.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I was blown away
right.
that, I don't know.
Yeah, we got to leave that.
You know, when you watch things on TV, it's so different than being in person.
Yeah, in person, I know they say, oh, this happened on TV. The guy's like, I'm right there looking straight at him. I was one of the closest jurors looking at the witnesses, right?
In his eyes.
And looking at, but you can see a lot of things. I don't care what people say. It's how you act also as a defendant. People don't realize it's not just what I think Todd, you brought it up, or Denise, I can't remember, that the trial starts the minute you pull your car in to the parking lot. That's when the trial starts.
Yeah.
People are like, what? What does that mean? Their jury's going to see you get in and get out. They're going to see you as your defendant. Now, if you're a plaintiff in our case, you're not getting out of, you know, they're not bringing you in from the holding cell,
yeah.
But you're walking in. It's what kind of car you drive up in, who you're hanging out with, what your car looks like. Does the license plate say, I love danger, or something like that? You know?
Do you say hi to the bailiff? Are you congenial that way? Is that
important?
Yeah.
And depending on the size of the community, your jury selection in the trial for day one of jury selection, that begins for you as a lawyer. Probably when you leave your driveway, because you don't know who you're going to see at the coffee shop, the donut shop. In my case, would be McDonald's, and I would know everybody there.
Right.
You don't know.
Or media. The media.
Cut them off.
Clips.
You're cutting them off on the driving, yeah. Denise. You cut this person off. Oh, that's one of the jurors. Whoops.
I had an experience once where I was late to court, and I got cut off in traffic. And look, I try to be the nicest guy in the world, but maybe some words you can't say on radio left my mouth.
Show on radio.
That would have been clearly observable to anyone who even had a scintilla of ability to read lips looking through a rearview mirror. I was very upset that I got cut off. 10 minutes later, I walk into court. And the judge sitting on the bench looked a lot like that same person that cut me off.
Now, I believe that. The judge probably did cut you off.
I was like, oh, great.
Well, the judge says, I can't be late. You know, Todd can't,
well,
but I can't.
Well, the best part about it, he didn't. Your car was so probably a big smashed up, probably, you know, broken.
Probably thought it was a defendant more than anything else. And yeah, I kept waiting for the judge to say, I'd like to thank counsel for reminding me I was number one prior to entering the courtroom today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you've got to be careful. You're right. You got to be careful who you know what you're doing. So that we're going to talk about how the jurors observed and watched him during the trial. What's interesting to me is not just that. And again, we're not opining. We're just teasing you. This is what's called a tease. I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen next. Not with Murdaugh, but what about Buster? Is there going to be any issues with the? You know, are they going to try to – I don't think he did anything. I don't know of anything that he did, but what's his life going to be like? He's the only living Murdaugh left that's at least not sitting in prison.
There actually was a problem with one of Buster's friends.
Well, the issue of, yeah, that he died in supposedly hit and run.
Right, and he called Buster to the scene right before he died.
Right, and so we're not saying anything's happened.
Yeah.
We're just saying there's a lot of mystery around this family.
And Buster's already left, right? I mean, he's vacated the area, living somewhere in South Carolina.
If I were you, I would leave too for a while. And you know what's sad too? And I'm going to say this is sad. I don't. Oh, what's sad about the Murdaugh? Yeah, this is sad. This is a family that, in the late 1800s, the father started, the grandfather?
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather. Apparently his painting or picture has been up in the courthouse, because he's one of the original solicitors for the county, was up in the courthouse hanging, and they've taken it down.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah,
that was for their trial, though, Fred.
They did take it down for the trial. I know that.
Yeah.
But
the firm doesn't have the name anymore, so the name's been removed from the firm.
Yeah, but the question is, are they going to put that back up, the picture? And if they do put it up, my understanding was in a fairly prominent area, you know, are they going to put it back in the corner, you know, by the bathroom, right? That's the question. So, boy, how one person in a long line of families, apparently maybe the family has had issues before, but it was definitely a well-known name and family, can just ruin the whole thing for one name.
Right.
Yeah.
To use the Shakespearean quote, good kings do not always have good sons.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
All right, we're going to be back. We're going to talk about Murdaugh. We're going to get into a case or no case right after. We got a bunch of Sirhan we're going to talk about, Vanessa Bryant settlement. We've got Biden forgiveness program. We're going to talk about that. And a bizarre Lady Gaga lawsuit. This is Bazaar against Lady Gaga. We'll be back.
A lot of stuff coming up right here on Radio Law Talk. To participate, all you have to do is stay tuned, and the show will be back after we take our first break. Don't go away.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. That's 800-254-1639.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
Well, what I'm excited about is one thing, Cal. What are you excited about?
I am excited about Case or No Case. I got a good one for you.
Play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Carol Ortel was an attorney with an especially sharp eye for contract law. One day, she decided to lease a nice, brand-new Tiger Woods leg-breaker model Genesis SUV. The car came from a dealer that had skimped on contract preparation and that they had a dated contract in their system that they did not realize. The contract gave the dealer the lien, but not the title. So the way it was written, at the end of the lease, the provision was that the title be given back to the dealer. That wasn't in the contract. So the lessee, the woman, Carol Ortel, had the car and the title, and apparently from her reading of the contract, the rights to the whole thing. So after the lease expired, the dealership called her up and said, Ms. Ortel, when are you bringing back the car? And she said, well, you know, honestly, I'm not. I think I'll just keep it. The dealer said, well, you can't do that. So they reached out to their lawyer to recover the nice car. They wanted to know if they had a case or no case because they happened to accidentally use a dated contract. Todd, I'd like you to go first this time, if you don't mind.
You know, no amount of not making eye contact with Cal Hunter will keep you from being called upon.
I was looking for the look away.
Dang you. Okay. Oh, good heavens. This contract law... Yeah, and I'm trying to hearken back to my days in law school with contract law, hearkening back to see if I did any good in that class. You know, there's something sticking out in my mind that, look, whatever you negotiate, if it's reduced to writing, it's the bargain for exchange, reduced to writing. Whatever the writing is, that's what controls. But there are some exceptions, like when it's a clear mistake. And I would think in this case... It was a mistake that it was there, and I think that the dealership would be arguing, look, we made a mistake. When you read it, anybody who knows this should have known this was a mistake. You don't get to keep the car at the end of the lease without, I mean, you haven't paid for the whole thing. And so I think that had this been a case, they would have cause to get the car back.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. But it wasn't a case. It's a real scenario, but I don't think it resulted in a case because I think everybody looked at it and said, clear mistake, yeah, you get the car back. So scenario, but no case.
Fair enough. Denise Dirks, what say you, case or no case?
Well, she was a sophisticated person. You know, she understood contract law, and she may have taken advantage of the fact that their contract was not up to date. That would be unfair, or maybe it would be inequitable, or whatever you want to use word-wise in contract law.
Kind of mean.
Oh, that's in contract law. Kind of mean.
Okay,
Your Honor, I'd like to quote the kind of mean statute.
Well, Cal used it on Radio Law Talk. It's got to be good. Okay, go ahead.
Just because I want to have some fun, I'm going to say that it is a case. And I'm going to say that Carol loses.
All right, fair enough. Fred, what do you think about this?
Denise, I was about ready to say that. Right? I was thinking, I thought you were going to go with Todd, and I was saying I'm going to go the opposite and say, but here's the deal. The deal is, I'm not agreeing with Todd that, oh, well, this was pretty obvious. No, it was a contract. That was their agreement. And you know what? They do pay for it. Every month they pay for this thing as a, quote, lease, which if it was purchased and it was a loan, they would have paid it off, right?
Yep.
So I say it is definitely – I'm going to go with Denise. I'm going to say case, and I'm going to do the opposite of Denise. I'm going to say the attorney wins because –
Well, Carol is the attorney.
Carol's
the,
you said she lost.
I said she wins.
Oh.
No, I said she lost.
You said she lost.
No, I said she won.
No, you said she lost.
Carol
lost.
I meant she won. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
I really meant she.
Okay,
yes.
Then I'm with you, Denise.
Yes.
I'm going to say Carol wins due to the fact that the dealership wrote it in that way, and c'est la vie, I guess, is the word that you say.
Oh,
and,
so let it be written. So let it be done.
Yeah. That's what I think was going to happen. I think that Carol wins the day, but I think it's probably not a case.
You want to know what I think?
What do you think?
I think Todd's probably right because I caught something that Cal said at the end.
We're sticking with our thing.
We are.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What would you think that?
Well, he said something about, what was it? I don't remember.
We're doing the Cal psychological.
Yeah, no, Cal said something right after you said something about it, and it's just like, okay, it's
not a case. I know Cal's got a lease, I think, on his car.
That's the thing.
No, I do not.
He said that the contract did not make the title go back to the company.
Right.
And the reality is there never would have been a title exchange.
Mm.
right? Because the title would have stayed with the company, not gone to the person.
If the contract were valid.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. So here's what happened.
All right, tell me.
Because I know you want to know.
Yeah.
The dealership attorney who worked the recovery case said to the dealership manager, who wrote this contract? The manager said, well, your former partner did before he died. And he said, we've been using the same agreement for years. The dealership's attorney replied, well, you may sue, but based on the provisions of the contract, you're likely to lose. So let's settle this case with Carol.
And it was a case.
Yep.
Woo, Denise and I.
Wait, you said it was somebody filed something?
Yes, dealership filed.
And they, oh my gosh, and Carol settled, which we won, because Carol won.
She wasn't confident that, you know, she could justify just keeping the car. So she offered them 20% of the value of the car, and the dealership said, well, 20% of something's better than 0% of nothing.
Good
so they settled for 20%, and she got the car, and she won the day, and that is...
But, Cal, what's that teach you? Read the contract.
That's my point.
So I'm confused here. Yeah. Who filed the lawsuit, the dealership or her?
They had a recovery attorney that worked for them, so the recovery attorney filed the lawsuit after saying, well, look, this is going to be a waste of time, but we got to do it.
So the recovery attorney goes to the client and says, look, filing a lawsuit is going to be a waste of time. Because we're just going to settle, but let's file the lawsuit anyway.
Well, they could have done that, Todd, for reasons of pressuring the other alert
let's
lawyer.
Let's throw something against the wall, see what sticks.
I think that's probably an accurate view.
Well, I think the situation is that if it went to a jury, I'm sure the jury would feel really bad for... You know, the dealership. I'm sure they always feel really bad.
They do.
All right, we'll be back after this. We're going to get into Murdoch.
Next hour, a Marilyn Manson concert goer who blows up a house and wants to hold somebody accountable other than herself. That's after this. That's next hour on Case or No Case on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cannon shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-559-6944. 800-559-6944. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-559-6944. 800-559-6944. 800-559-6944.
Are you having a difficult time getting in and out of your old bathtub? Here's a new, affordable idea to consider. When you bought your home years ago, you had a traditional bathtub, and you put a shower curtain in it, and it lasted for years. But now, maybe you or your mom is having difficulty getting in and out of a high-step tub. For some people, that can be an accident waiting to happen. If you or one of your parents is in this situation, and you don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, call Steve at Senior Safety Pro Tub to Shower.
USA News Update. The U.S. and Germany are calling on Russia to end its war against Ukraine. President Biden met with the German Chancellor at the White House yesterday to discuss ongoing support for Ukraine. He says Germany is doing its part.
You help Ukraine meet its basic needs like food, health, heating.
and you continue to give them, maintain the pressure on Putin, and it is undercutting his ability to fight this war.
Chancellor Olaf Scholz said Moscow is a very dangerous threat to peace and that allies need to stand with Ukraine for as long as necessary. Severe storms across the southern United States are blamed for at least 10 deaths. Many were caused by high winds that collapsed trees and submerged vehicles in floodwaters. More than 14 million people were under high wind warnings yesterday. Over 650,000 homes and businesses in Tennessee and Kentucky are still without power. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is no fun. That's true.
This is a great time to call the show. 855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-LAW-RADIO.
All right. As I always say, if you've been living under a rock, there's Alec Murdoch who was found guilty of murdering his son Paul and his wife. What was her
name? Maggie.
Maggie, that's right, Maggie. And a couple of things. It happened this week. The weird thing is that it was only after a few hours the jury came back. It was 23 days of a 23-day trial with so much evidence. And then let me just go through a few things, and we'll comment on each of them. So that was one issue. It was only a few hours. They came back after 23 days approximately of evidence. The other thing that's interesting is they tossed one of the jurors out, and for the judge
did. The day they were deliberating.
Yeah, and that's why, by the way, you have alternate jurors. There are usually, and they had two alternate jurors in this case, and that's kind of generally about the same. It's usually two. Sometimes in these big, massive cases, they'll have three. Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes. And then the other issue is his sentence, what the judge said. What's interesting, too, we're going to get into is, this is still a kind of a small county, and there's multiple counties there, and the Murdoch family have been well known since the late 1800s as being the prosecutors for the county, which apparently he lost that contract back away a little ways back. But how the judge talked to him about, you know, you've been before me many times, I've known you. Apparently the judge knew him really well. And knew, had many cases in front of it,
yeah.
In front of this judge, et cetera, et cetera. I thought the judge's demeanor was, very good. I think his demeanor was just smooth. I mean, he was not excitable one way or the other.
All business.
Yeah, he was very smooth. And that's like a lot of judges I know too, that there's very few that aren't that way, but that's why that makes a good judge, because he keeps everything calm. But it's interesting to see what he said, and he was definitely had he didn't hold back this time on the words, and almost religious, oh, you're gonna see your wife and your son every day, don't you?
Yeah,
In your dreams. And it's interesting to some of the things he said. I like the part, and by the way, I know we're gonna talk about this later. Like the part is, maybe it wasn't you, but the alter ego of you, but it's just,
The opioid crazed you.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff like that he brought up. And then there's going to be the appeal process. And then that's what we're going to get into a little bit deeper about the appeal process. And what are some interesting things that may be appealed? And Todd Kunin brought up, a former prosecutor for the district attorney's office and former public defender, so he's been on both sides, brought up an interesting issue that came up in closing arguments from the prosecution, which in my opinion, Todd, we talked about this. Look, you've got a great case. Don't throw stuff out that may allow them to appeal.
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about that and the issue of, why didn't defense, object? And if they didn't object, is it still appealable? And there may be some reasons for that. So that's what's going on there. Then there's the issues we talk about of, boy, apparently there's 60 other cases, criminal cases going against him for stealing and theft, right?
And he's now on the record that he admitted guilt already.
So let's assume he got off on this case. So what? He's going to jail for a long time just for all the multiple offenses.
Yeah, that's
true. And the one thing that I saw with that, just on that issue alone, it has to do with how they calculate credits for the type of offense you're in jail for. So let's say, for example, the jury had come back with not murder, but let's say they come back with a lesser included manslaughter, right? And he's looking at a lot of time at manslaughter, and if they do things in South Carolina the way they do them in California, you'd serve 85% of that time for a felony manslaughter conviction. But let's say you had 20 years and you're serving 85% of that. That's what, 17 years you're doing. Let's say he gets 20 years for the financial crimes and he's acquitted on that. If it's like California, he's only doing half that time. 20 years, because they calculate the credits differently based upon the severity of the offense.
But add the multiple ones up. That's just one, Todd, right?
Yeah, but they can run consecutively, too.
Right.
That's correct. They can run consecutively. And I don't know how South Carolina does their consecutive nature. I know that in California, typically, if you have two offenses, it's easy to calculate this. Let's say 12 years is an offense that somebody would get for one. Both of them have 12 years. Well, you get sentenced to 12 years on the one, but on the second one that you get sentenced to, if it's running consecutive, it's not 12 years. It's one-third of the middle term, which if it was 12 years, now you're only doing four. So if you run them consecutively, it would be 16 years as opposed to 24.
Right.
But how many people did he steal from? I think there was probably 30.
Oh, yeah.
There might be more.
And
he's been doing it for 10 years.
So what it comes down to is it doesn't matter what happened in this trial. To me, he's what? And he's in his 60s, right? Or late 50s. Let's just say 60, round number.
I think he's 60s.
Yeah, but if let's say 60, you're not, when you're 90, you're going to, that's 30 years. I bet he does 30 years just on the other financial crimes.
It depends on how much time they would have given him. My point in all of this is, if he, let's say he got 30 years for all the financial crimes, which, maybe that's about right. If they calculate the credit right, the same way they do here, he would only do 15 on the 30. Whereas if he got 30 years for a death-related offense,
he's doing
85% of that time. And so,
Denise, what are you saying? How many?
He's 54 years old.
Oh, he's 54 years old.
Yeah, he's a lot younger than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he was.
I wonder, look it up and find out how many different cases there are against him for, not civil, but criminal cases. Cal, you had a point.
I was going to say, if you further Californicate the sentence, to apply our terminology, since they went 30 to life instead of life without parole, he's going to be eligible for parole at some time down the road. Is he not? Maybe.
Well no. You're saying for the ones he just got.
When they say 30 plus, they're not saying natural life. They're saying 30.
He's got two 30s.
So he'll be eligible for parole.
I'm assuming they're running consecutively, right?
Yes, but there have been cases in this state where they've said, well, since you didn't say the rest of your natural life, you're 65 years of age, you're too old to cause anybody any harm, you get out on parole. That's happening in California.
By the way, we're going to talk about that on the Sirhan Sirhan.
There is an article that says that he has admitted to dozens of financial crimes and would face over 700 years in prison for those concessions alone.
Yeah, so just what he was up there testifying to, what does it matter? Let's assume he didn't do it. He's not going to appeal and all that stuff. You're off. You win the appeal. All right, now you're going to go do 700 years, whatever, for the financial crime. What's the difference? I think I know the difference. He's just going to say, I don't want it to be my name to be tarnished forever that
as
I'm
a murderer
of my son and my daughter. I will step back and say this. It is bizarre. I don't care what you guys say or the pundits say or the jury or anybody says. It's, to me, still bizarre about motive. And I know he's crazy. And I know he's a nutball. But here his whole life was revolved around helping Paul get off. And every little thing helped him in his life, like, to a fault. Like, as in, you know, did slimy things to help his kid Paul. And yet, out of the blue, decides to kill him in a brutal fashion. Now, the judge might be right by saying, you know, whether it's you or your alter drug-induced ego or person, maybe that's the case. But, you know, not saying it's okay with his wife, but, okay, husband and wives do have issues at times, and these crazy people, they'll shoot each other.
I just think he didn't want them to see him be found guilty of all these crimes. I think he was more – it went toward his ego.
But he killed his boy for
That's true. He didn't. If he didn't want them to see him be found guilty of these crimes, then why is Buster not called to the house, and why is he still alive? And there's a third person there, and he's got his brothers who are still alive. He's got all of that. I don't know what his motive was, but I think the weakest proposed motive was the one put forth by the prosecution, which was he killed his wife and son because the noose was tightening around him for the financial crimes. Really? You want to throw the dogs off of being the center of attention for malfeasance for a financial crime, so you murder two people?
Well, your family members.
Yeah, it never has made sense to me. Whatever the motive is, I think that's the weakest one.
Right. So we're going to be back and talk a lot more about this. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Denise,
855-529-7234.
We'll be back after the break.
Yep. This is Radio Law Talk. The show will continue in just a few seconds right here. Don't go away.
And other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not...
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines.
Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop whining.
Email the show anytime you'd like. Info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
@radiolawtalk.com.
.com.
Ooh. All right, let's talk really quickly, Todd and Denise, about a juror being recused. Let's go through that. Go ahead.
Sure. So it was, well, it was before state arguments, right? It was before arguments, and I guess what had happened was the last day of testimony, if you were watching, the last day of evidence, when they broke for the day, I remember seeing this, the judge says, okay, we're going to break for the day except for some matters we have to take care of in chambers, and that was it. Everything was done. Apparently, this is what happened in chambers. There had been a report that two people had reported, apparently, to law enforcement, that one of the jurors had made comments about the case, which clearly they get an admonition at the end of beginning and end of every day, don't talk about the case with people. So there was this admonition that this juror had spoken with two people. And apparently two SLED agents, that's South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, two SLED agents, one of whom apparently was a witness in this case, went and interviewed the individuals that claimed this juror had spoken to them. And then that information was given to the judge. The juror denied that. The judge in his ruling said they brought in the two people that claimed the juror had talked to them, and the two people waffled. This was amazing. The two people waffled on what they really saw compared to what was reported by law enforcement, but out of an abundance of caution, the judge believed that a violation had occurred, and then recused the juror, dismissed the juror before closing arguments started. And the hilarious thing is they bring the juror out. They don't show her, but you can hear her voice. They said, now, is there anything back in the jury room that you need to get before you leave? She goes, well, I got to get my purse and a dozen eggs. He says, a dozen eggs? Yeah, I brought a dozen eggs, one for each juror. He says, well, okay, you don't want to leave them back there? She says, not now. So they had to go get the purse and the eggs and get those out. And they.
Yeah, but the judge was careful to say that he was not saying she did anything wrong intentionally.
That's right.
The judge just said we got to avoid the appearance of any impropriety here and, you know, and to protect this, the case.
Well, here's something interesting that a lot of people don't know. Excuse me, I had to clear my throat. Did you know a lot of times when these big high-profile cases, defense counsel or even the prosecutors sometimes have people out and about listening or, you know, like staff members to see if the jurors are walking out. They're not like full-time spies, but they're seeing if they're out there chatting about it, you know. And so you've got to be careful sometimes as a juror. And again, it's not that you're doing anything improper and that you're doing you're a bad person. You just got to not talk about it, right?
Well, I can tell you based upon the evidence. So the judge said something else to this juror that I thought was interesting. Said, look, I mean, I've been impressed by you as a juror. I've noticed you've been here every day, very attentive, very friendly, and by all accounts, you've done things very well. Now, listen, we know from the count that there were at least two jurors when they first took a vote that thought it was not guilty. So we know there were some skeptical jurors at the time. We also know from the closing argument on the rebuttal, there was one point in time when this prosecutor started going into something, and you see him look at the jury. I don't know who he looked at, but he said, now hold on, just listen to me, give me a second, just listen to me. And it was clear from that interaction that there was something about the body language of a juror that made that prosecutor think, this person ain't buying what he's selling, right? So you know that, and the defense, you know, is going to say, this juror that was dismissed was probably exhibiting the defense argument, you know, is going to be they were exhibiting something that made it look like they were defense friendly. And so South Carolina sent two SLED agents out, one of whom was a witness in this case, to do a report and to talk to folks to get that juror punted. That's going to be their argument.
There are so many appealable issues here that I just...
there's definitely going to be appeal. We all agree with that.
And by the way, that argument, that objection from the defense was put on the record after the juror was dismissed and before the other remaining jurors were brought back in.
Oh, right.
Harputlian raised that and said, yet another misfire, misplay by SLED in the investigation of this case is how this particular complaint was handled. Inappropriate.
Wow.
Yeah, but don't forget, so let's go over very quickly an appeal process. And again, we're going over this generally, so don't take this, they missed this part or that part. But in general, it's difficult to win an appeal. But if you do win, you got to show, number one, there's a mistake, right? First thing, mistake. And then you think, clearly there was a mistake, they're going to win the appeal. No. Number two is it has to be affect the outcome of the trial in some way. So that's what you have. That's the two-step process. Generally speaking, don't quote me, oh, you missed this part. This is generally speaking what you have to do to win an appeal, which makes it difficult. Because everyone thinks, oh, there was a mistake made. But did it affect the way the outcome occurred on the case? Well, here's some questions. There were definitely some mistakes that Todd and I have talked about. Denise, I haven't talked to you about them yet. But a few of the mistakes were, let me back up. Possible mistakes were one very interesting thing that prosecution did in the closing argument. Todd, tell them what they said. I didn't catch this until you brought it up, and I went, wow.
So this was
Denise.
So this was on
I didn't catch it either.
This was on the rebuttal. And by the way, the best person to argue, the one I thought did the best job just from a presentation standpoint, was the South Carolina Attorney General that got up on the rebuttal argument. Mm-hmm. So the prosecution argues first, then the defense, and then the prosecution gets a rebuttal. And the guy that stood up on rebuttal was the first time he'd made any argument. That dude was polished and good. It was like watching Matlock. Problem is, in my opinion, he said some things that he shouldn't have said.
Stop right there. Didn't the judge, though, say when defense counsel asked in closing arguments, what did defense counsel ask for?
They asked to have
multiple
people argue.
Yes, that they can one half does one, the other half does another, and the court said no. Now again, this is a rebuttal. I get that, but the judge allowed prosecution to, you know, closing argument, and then someone else to do the rebuttal. I'm wondering if that's a little bit prejudicial.
I think the judge was like, and I think the law is you can't break up a single argument session by having two people do it. But
yeah, like you can do direct, and then on cross you can have somebody else do cross.
Yeah.
You know that you can, but if the one person does the direct, one person does the cross.
So you can't tag team it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, but here is one thing, just one of the things this prosecutor said, and he made a couple, but this was the one that was first glaring. So he said, and the night of when he's being interviewed, what did he do when he's being interviewed by SLED agents? The night of, what does he do? He says he wants to talk to a lawyer. Why do you want to talk? Why does an innocent person want to talk to a lawyer? And he's commenting on how wrong it was for Murdaugh to invoke his right to counsel.
That is reversible error.
And that is absolutely wrong. And his argument on that point is wrong. I'm going to read you something that comes from the Grunwald case. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case. And it said, and they said, we emphasize, this is the court, we emphasize that one of the Fifth Amendment's basic functions is to protect innocent men who otherwise might be ensnared by ambiguous circumstances. We recognize that truthful responses of an innocent witness, as well as those of a wrongdoer, may provide the government with incriminating evidence from the speaker's own mouth. The court says the Fifth Amendment is essentially there to protect innocent people. No, it is a false argument to argue, well, if you're innocent, why wouldn't you just talk to the police without your lawyer?
Yes, right. That's a shocker.
Yeah,
that's
like really a common knowledge thing.
And that could affect the outcome of the trial.
That could affect the outcome of the trial. The other thing this prosecutor, and we're coming up on it here, the other thing this prosecutor said was, he says, Paul testified to you. Maggie testified. These are two dead people testified to you. Paul testified to you and identified Murdaugh as the killer when he had the video. And Maggie and the way she was there running to save her baby. Paul, there was no statement from Paul.
And no evidence of that. The running to save the baby.
And that is absolutely wrong. The problem I've got,
they didn't appeal.
There was no zero objection to any of them.
Yeah, that's what we want to talk about when we come back. Hour number two, we're gonna have another case or no case. We're gonna finish it. We're gonna keep going on Murdaugh. Look, this is too interesting to keep going, to not keep going. We'll be back. Call us at 855 Law Radio.
Big time explorations of all of the big cases on Radio Law Talk. Yep, it's a big show, and it continues after 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Don't go away.
Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.